Scripture this morning is from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5a. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. The word of God for the people of God.
So would you bow your heads and pray for me and with me? Holy God, we give you thanks for today, for this first Sunday of Advent that we're celebrating. And I pray now that you would allow the preacher to get out of the way of the Spirit and let the Spirit flow through the words and through our lives. And this I pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So I have a brother that lives in Montana. And he and his wife live up there, and he said, "Hey, did you see what's happening in Billings, Montana?" And I said, "Actually, no, I have not seen what's happening in Billings, Montana." And I looked it up, and it was on the news. Police officers there were pulling people over for minor traffic violations, like going a few miles over the speed limit or running a stop sign, you know, rolling instead of stopping, whatever. And they would pull them over, and they would go up to them, and they would check the license plate first to make sure there was no outstanding warrants. And then they would go up to the car and give them a warning and say, "And here's your turkey." Yeah, they did not see that coming, right? So apparently a business owner in Montana, in Billings, Montana, had a bunch of turkeys, and he donated them to the police department and said, "I want you to give these out to people in the town," and the police department thought they'd have some fun with this. It's kind of an interesting surprise, right? It's the surprise that kept on giving, because you can imagine your surprise when you're driving along and in your rearview mirror you see the blue lights start going, right? And then maybe you get the added surprise of the siren, and you pull over, and then as you're sitting there and you see the police officer walking up in your rearview mirror, and we all just sit, right, and wait, and running through your head is the thought, "Oh my gosh, what have I done? Did I do something that they're going to pull me out of the car and handcuff me and take me down to the station? I don't think so, but maybe I don't remember it." And you're, you know, it's silly, but that's what your mind does. And I'm sorry if you're a police officer, but that's what we do when we see you coming, right? That's just true. And so imagine when this happened, and Larry Riddle is a man that lives in Billings, Montana, and that's what he was thinking when the police officer was coming up to him. But he got such a nice surprise when the officer handed him this turkey, because Larry's wife died of cancer, and he and his daughter have this very limited budget, and this surprise turkey was a blessing to them this holiday season. Surprises can be so wonderful, right? And they can also be disastrous. Perhaps you have heard of the young man who last May went to Fenway Park, and he went to a great deal of trouble to put together a surprise for his girlfriend. He was going to propose to her, and he got it on the Jumbotron, right? The Jumbotron, which fills out the whole thing. And he called his family and friends and her family and friends and said, "Watch the game, it's going to be amazing." And he proposes to her, and she said, "No." That was a surprise, right? Or I had a friend, this was years ago, I had a friend, Mark and Lori, and it was Mark's birthday, and Lori said, "Let's have a surprise party for him," so she invited a bunch of us over, and we go in the house, we hide in the dark like you do. Mark comes home, he walks in the door, I don't know why he didn't turn on the light, but he didn't. He drops his keys on the counter, sets down his briefcase, and then he didn't see Lori, and he did not see us, and so he starts walking through the house going, "Lori, where are you?" Kind of like a romantic Elmer Fudd, right? And then he said things that we were not meant to hear, I feel certain. And then you can imagine, I wish you could have seen his face when we all stood up and went, "Surprise!" He was very surprised, very surprised. Surprises can be wonderful, unexpected, sometimes not what you were expecting, kind of disastrous, but surprises are a really interesting thing. And so we thought for Advent we would give you all a surprise. We moved it. Surprise! It's the first Sunday of Advent. Here's what happens. The churches all around, the Catholic Church, the Orthodox, the Protestant Church, everybody kind of agrees when Advent is going to be. But this year, the fourth Sunday of Advent would have fallen on December the 24th, which is another important day in the church, right? Christmas Eve. And so we said, that just doesn't seem right. And so we got our heads together and we moved it. So we started today, and the rest of the world starts on December the 3rd. Our director of communications, Billy Ray Davis, called me this week. I was walking by his office, and he's brand new. He's only been here a couple of weeks. And he said, did you know the first Sunday of Advent is actually December the 3rd? He said, we've got it wrong. We've got to change everything. And I said, no, welcome to Florus. So we are starting today. And listen, I don't think God is going to mind. Because our God is a God full of surprises. Full of surprises. All you have to do is open the scripture and you read them. You think about Abraham and Sarah. They were told they were going to have a child. They were told for years and years, and the years go on, and they get old. And then, surprise, Sarah is pregnant and they have a baby boy. And they name him Isaac. And the name Isaac means he laughs. And I've always thought this was a character of Isaac, like he was a joyful child. But what if the name was about God? Like Abraham and Sarah, the joke's on you. Surprise! What a joyful surprise that is. Our God is a God full of surprises. David, the greatest king of Israel, was the youngest and the smallest of his brothers, and yet he is chosen and anointed to become the king of Israel. Mary is this young woman. She has never known a man, and then God comes and says, and you're going to have a baby. And not just a baby, you're going to have the Savior of the world. And this Savior is born in an unexpected way, in an unexpected place, and it's one of the biggest surprises of all. Our God is a God who loves surprises. In the scripture that was read today, the prophet Micah speaks. And he tells us about this ruler that is coming. And nobody at the time can hardly think about it. They want a ruler that's going to come and save them, but they just hardly believe that it's going to happen. Micah lived in the latter part of the 8th century, well before the birth of Jesus. He comes from this little tiny town called Moresheth. It's a village in Judah. Let me give you a brief history lesson of what's happening in Micah's time. Micah begins to prophesy right before the northern kingdom, which is called Israel, falls and is overrun. And then there's the southern kingdom called Judah. So it's Israel and Judah. They're surrounded by powerful people, and they are kind of in a line of the armies. And so the northern kingdom falls. And Micah prophesies that that's going to happen. But then after that, Micah spends his time prophesying to the southern kingdom and saying, pay attention. Pay attention. Because the same thing will happen to you. But the southern kingdom, rather than listening to Micah, they instead start paying tribute. They become vassals of Assyria, and they start paying huge tributes to the king of Assyria. And then before too long, they also adopted their religion, which was one of the commandments, do not worship other gods. But this powerful neighbor is around them and is closing in on them, and they start worshiping multiple gods. It becomes polytheistic. And they still worship Yahweh as well, but they also worship all of these other gods. And Micah looks at them and says, turn back to God. Turn back to God. And today, Micah is speaking to the people, and we hear him speak of Bethlehem. And now to us, we hear Bethlehem, and we go, the birth of Christ. But to the people of that time, they did not do that. Bethlehem was this tiny, tiny village, hardly more than a few shepherd huts, maybe an inn and a shop. Yet the prophecy says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Micah is trying to surprise them into remembering who God is. He's reminding them of this ancient covenant that God has with the chosen people, with Israel. Micah is also reassuring them that this covenant is secure and reliable still, even though it may come in an unexpected manner from Bethlehem. He's also reminding them that just as God was with David through the covenant when he says, "whose origins are from of old, from ancient times," he's reminding them of the covenant that God had with David and that it is still present. God is still eternal and still operative, even while Judah is surrounded and under threat. But this new ruler that is being promised will not come as expected from Jerusalem, but instead from tiny Bethlehem, this obscure village on the edge of the wilderness. And this ruler will not come with the might of the army, the destroying army that they want. Instead, this ruler will come as a shepherd and will pull his flock in and care for them as a shepherd with his sheep, and he will be a person of peace. Micah, if the people would only listen, is giving reassurance that God is still present. Even when God's people are not being faithful, remember, they're polytheistic, they're worshiping other gods, they're breaking the commandments. Even then, God is still there offering to renew the covenant. That's the big surprise. That's the big surprise, that God is still present and still longs to be in the hearts of the people. Even such hard-headed, disobedient people as the Israelites have been, repetitive history, they turn to God, they turn away, they turn to God, they turn away, and still this powerful, sovereign, eternal God remains faithful to these hard-headed people. You would think, after so long, we would no longer be surprised by this. And yet, we continue to be surprised by a faithful God. I don't think the people expected it. Yet God continues to act in surprising ways. And so perhaps the best that we can do as people today is expect to be surprised. Surprise is hard to anticipate, right? Sometimes we know we are going to be surprised, we just don't know exactly how or when or where it's coming, right? So my grandsons love the game Perfection. I don't know if you know this game. It's got a red board, and there's a blue board on top of it, and there's a timer involved, and you have to put shapes into the board. You push it down, and it starts a timer, and the timer goes tick, 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 really obnoxiously in your face, right? Tick, 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 and you're putting them in as fast as you can. And if you are 7 or 4, you are beside yourself with excitement. And frankly, if you're my age as well, you're like, it's ticking and it's not going to stop ticking. And I know it's going to explode and I've got to get the shapes in. And you know it's coming and then it pops. And there is always screaming and surprise for me. Every time it comes, I am shocked and I am startled that it happens. But I know it's coming because the timer is going tick, 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 tick. Somehow I don't expect it. Perhaps I should expect to be surprised and then embrace the surprise. The truth is, most things, in fact, are not a surprise. Most things are a simple consequence you could predict was coming for a long time. Micah tries to warn the people of the southern kingdom. He spends his life prophesying, asking them to turn back, to change their ways, but they don't change. They don't return to the Lord. They don't remain faithful. They don't follow the commandments, and eventually they are overrun as well. I don't think they ever expected it to happen. I think they thought it wouldn't happen to them. They simply were not paying attention. Does that ever happen to you? If you really pay attention, you might notice something is coming, but you don't because your pace is fast or it doesn't seem important, and you just keep going and going and going, and then it happens and you're surprised. One of the most familiar complaints at Christmas time, and frankly, it's one of my complaints, and it's my own fault, but it's that everything comes so quickly, and I go and go and go and go and go, and I don't take the time to celebrate the season. Christmas has become commercial, and it's hard to find ways to change. We go and on, doing and doing and doing, until something reminds us. And we hope that something will remind us that the season is about holy anticipation, not hurried preparation. Holy anticipation, not hurried preparation. That's what the season is about. So wouldn't it be interesting if this season we paid attention to what the Holy Spirit is prodding us to do? Sometimes the Holy Spirit prods you to do things and you don't quite believe it or you're not paying attention. What if we paid attention to the impulses that the Holy Spirit is pushing on us? And that would help us make our Advent season what God wants it to be for us. Because it is to us that the prophet Micah speaks this unexpected word. It's a word of hope. And hope changes the boundaries in which we live. Micah proclaimed that from this little village of Bethlehem would come one that would gather his flock like a shepherd gathers his sheep, and he would protect them, and he would feed them, and he would care for them. And the boundaries of hope changed with that birth and reached far beyond the boundaries of tiny Bethlehem. The word reached past the disobedient, hard-headed, chosen people of Israel and all the way to us who are still hard-headed and still disobedient. But the word comes to us today. Like the Israelites, we still live in a world that knows terror and uncertainty. Every day when we watch the news, we are again startled. And yet it has become expected. A bomb in a mosque in Egypt. 300 people in the middle of worship. It's a shock, and yet it's not. We live in uncertainty. The promise of Micah is to us today. We yearn for security and peace. We are seeking for hope that the world will be different. The promise is that God will be faithful and will appear in surprising ways when we least expect it. Micah invites us to look for God's presence where we least expect it, but we must change the parameters of our expectations. It might mean doing less. It might mean baking less cookies or buying less presents, or it might mean putting up less decorations, or it might mean more. You might have a calendar that's very empty and God cannot speak into the void of emptiness. And it might mean going for a walk with a friend. It might mean coming to worship. It might mean coming to a musical event where you hear the message of the season through song. So it might mean doing less and it might mean doing more, but it certainly means paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is prodding you to do. Sometimes things happen and we are surprised, but it's because we're not paying attention. So I had this brought home to me this week. I, I had this brought home to me this week. On last Saturday, I got into my car and I drove over to my daughter's house. I was picking her up. We were going to go somewhere. And she wasn't ready, so I sat in the driveway. And don't tell anyone, it was well before Thanksgiving, but I was going to listen to Christmas music. And I had Christmas CDs in the console of my car. And so I opened up the console, I got out the CDs, and I was going to feed them because I'm too busy to just sit in my garage and do it, right? I had to do it while my car was running and I was waiting for my daughter. So I pull them out, and I looked in there, and I said, wow, there's something funny in there. I don't know what it is. My console is very full of stuff. So I started laying it on the seat, and I came across this card. This is an old business card of mine, and you will notice that it looks as though somebody took a bite out of it. In fact, a couple of bites out of it, but it didn't dawn on me yet. I was like, that's odd. And so I kept pulling things out, and then I remembered I had a granola bar in the bottom of my console for those times that I got hangry and I needed something to eat. And I pulled out the granola bar, and it was empty. There were a few crumbs in the bottom of the console, along with all the shredded paper and other little droppings that were there. And I realized I had a mouse in my car. And I thought, this guy has been living in here, and I didn't even know it. Right? And then I thought, where is he? I didn't know. And I thought, okay, fine. But then my daughter came out of the house, and I put everything back in the console. And I shut it, and my daughter got in the car, and I said, there was a mouse in my car, and she was properly appalled. But then we went and did our thing, and then I forgot about it. I didn't pay attention to it, right? And so I got in my car on Monday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. I went into my dark garage. My husband was out of town. That's not important. It's just that he's always out of town when these things happen. And I opened my car door, and there on my driver's seat was my little friend. And he was looking at me, and I was looking at him, and I don't know who was more surprised, but we both screamed, and he jumped at me. Because I was the route to freedom, I believe, and he ran out of the garage into the great wilderness of our street. And I never saw him again, and I was shaking. I was like, there's a mouse in my car. But I shouldn't have been surprised, right? Because I had all the evidence in my car. There were mouse droppings. There was an eaten business card. I should have expected a mouse in my car. And yet, I was so busy and so doing that I didn't stop to clean it out and maybe vacuum everything out and see where this mouse might be living. I don't know how long he had been there, but I think it was some time. Somebody said you could have used him for the HOV lanes, but I wasn't sure the police officer would think that was funny either. So what if we do something different this year? What if we do something different? What if this Advent, instead of pursuing the perfect Christmas experience, we spend our time seeking hope, seeking something different, expecting a surprise from God. Seeking takes time. It requires thought and breath. Pursuing feels frenzied and breathless, like you can't get enough air, but seeking, it feels like you just go, okay. What if we all took the time to breathe? We have a choice to make. This Advent, we can choose to slow down and breathe, or we can keep on going and going and going. Here's what I know. Here's what I know about many of you. You are good at this. You're already here. It's the first Sunday of Advent, and you're in church, and you are worshiping, and you are good at taking the time. But I imagine some of you are like me as well, and you could use more. You could use a little bit more time to breathe. And so this Advent, what I am encouraging us to do is to slow down and take the time to anticipate the surprise that God is bringing. And I know it's challenging because who has time to look for it, right? We've got so much to do, and there are important things. We have bills to pay. We have papers to write. We have health problems to take care of. We have trees to put up and presents to wrap and parties to go to. All of this is fine and important to do. But it's important to do as we follow the prompting of the Spirit, as we listen to what God is telling us to do. I encourage you to stop and listen for a voice like Micah's that says you were made for more. There is more. The hope and the peace that you are searching for is coming into the world in the most surprising of ways. Nobody expected the Messiah to come from Bethlehem, from a tiny town. But that's how our God acts. God is surprising. And we often think that God is only going to be in the big and the bold. But God is also in the holy small experiences of our lives. I encourage you to look for them. It might be reading a book to a child. It might be listening to music. It might be taking a walk with a friend. It might be finding a few people to gather together and going to the neighbor who just had knee surgery and sing Christmas carols. Not with the expectation of going in and having cookies and cocoa, but just going and ringing the doorbell and singing a few carols that brings a moment of hope and gladness. This is Advent. We have 29 days. It's a wealth of time. We gave you an extra week of Advent for you to get ready, to prepare for the coming of Christ, to prepare for the most joyous, unexpected surprise that will come. So spend time seeking hope, anticipating this great moment. What a blessing it will be. What a blessing it will be to wake up on Christmas morning and realize that you have spent these last 29 days preparing for this moment in a way that the Spirit encouraged you to do. That's my wish for you this Advent. Come every week to worship, and we will help you and give you tools to do that. And I look forward to singing and worshiping with you through this whole time. Amen.